Good evening, everyone. It's April 15th, 2020, and we are coming to you live stream right into your living rooms or cars or rooms, wherever you're at. And we are looking forward to having a wonderful service tonight. Once again, right now, it's still during this time that this COVID-19 stuff is going on, and they're calling it a pandemic, so we're not able to meet together in large groups. And so we're supposed to stay under 10 people, so there's only a few of us here, what they call essential people, sound booth people, camera people, a piano player, a song leader, and special music people. So you be praying for us. We want these services to be an encouragement. We want these services to be a help. We think it's important when the Bible says that we're supposed to not forsake the assembly. And right now, the only way we have to do it is to assemble together around these devices. So I want you to do your best to be faithful. I want you to do your best to get involved, too. Sing when it's time to sing. Get your Bibles out. Read along with the Bible. Listen. Pay attention. Don't be doing a whole bunch of other things while the service is going on. I know many of you said because of the setup we have here, it's just like you've been sitting in church and you're in your normal spot and acting like you would act normally in church. And it helps them get things done and get things accomplished, and also helps God to speak to your heart. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and that's God's blessing on the service tonight. Dearly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to come into your house. I know what some people may say, that your house is here, but the church is the people, Lord, and it's the called out body of believers. And I know right now, even though we cannot gather together like we would like to, we believe by faith you can use this and you can make it even a greater encouragement and a greater blessing than if they were just sitting right here. Lord, by faith, we continue to move on in this ministry and asking for you to bless it, asking for you to use it, asking that during this time, it'll be a time where people's faith is increased, that people are saved, and Lord, that people will even be discipled. Lord, help us to be faithful during this time. I pray for our church family specifically. There's a lot of people out there that have some different needs, and Lord, we pray that you help with those physical needs. And Lord, once again, help this service tonight. Lord, we want to hear from you. God, we need to hear from you. And Lord, in some important things, important topics you laid upon my heart, I pray that each and every one of us be ready and open to whatever you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So on Wednesday nights, we have some congregational singing. So we're going to have Brother Jim come lead us first in our theme song and then also in one of my favorite songs also. Brother Jim.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Next, let's sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, number 109. Sing all three verses. Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no longer know, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Last verse. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Amen. What a wonderful song. That was not the song I was thinking of, but he's getting ready to lead us in one of my favorites next. I do like Rock of Ages, but Just a Closer Walk with Thee is one of my favorites also. So announcement time. Now, so there's a couple things we want to make you aware of. First, as I mentioned on Sunday, we are having a week of prayer and fasting. It starts next Monday. And you say, Pastor, we're going to pray and fast for the whole week. Well, hopefully we're praying all every day anyway. But what we've done is joined up with six other churches, and we are going to yoke up together and each church take one day. And for that day, our church is guaranteeing that someone will be praying and praying for a certain prayer list all throughout that 24 hours. Our day is on Monday, and so that is next Monday, April 20th, and it starts at midnight, goes all the way to 11:59 on Monday. And so what we've done is we've broken it up into 20-minute increments. We're going to be giving out a prayer list through email and also be posting it on our Facebook channel or Facebook page, whatever you call it, and also we'll be checking with all those who signed up. Now, so far, there's about 72 spots, and so far we have about 25 of those spots filled up. I was hoping to be a little bit farther along by now, but I know there's still a lot of people that are going to be interested in being a part of this and be interested in taking part of this. I think it's really neat because you know that for an entire week, you're going to be able to pray and know that someone's going to be praying for the same request that you've been praying for. Also, I think it's nice to yoke up with other churches, and many of the churches are found within a few hour radius of our church. These are churches that we know, and these are churches that we fellowship with in different ways before. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Text me, email me for looking at the different times. Some of the more familiar slots are already filled up. You say, Pastor, what happens if we don't get all the slots filled up? We'll make sure they're all filled up one way or another. But thank you for those who've already responded. And let me encourage you to keep on responding and letting me know, whether through email or through text. And don't wait till Sunday. Let's try to get it done ahead of time. And don't also say, well, Pastor, I'm going to pray on and off on that Monday. That's wonderful. But if everybody took that topic and nobody took a time slot, that means I'd be praying for 24 hours straight, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. But at the same time, that's not the idea of what we're trying to do here. So please make sure you sign up and let me know what time slots or where you're interested in being a part of. And the fasting is something that is obviously is not a command, because that's not the way the scriptures talk about it. It's something between you and the Lord, but it's something I want you to encourage, think about, fast in some way, whether it be fasting the whole day away from food, or whether it be giving up a meal or giving up some type of luxury or something that you know that you enjoy and something that you are willing to set aside for a day, so that way you can spend special time focusing on the things that are on your prayer list and what God is working in your heart about. Remember, there's still a bulletin that goes out every Thursday or Friday. If you have signed up for that and you have not gotten it, please let us know. We'd be glad to send that to you, whether through texting or emailing, or if you don't do either one of those, we can mail it to you. But please sign up for that. That shows you the different requests that are going on, shows you all the different other things that are happening, and if there's any special announcements. But it shows you the birthdays of the week, the anniversaries of the week. Also shows you a list of prayer requests, which is one of the things we enjoy about Wednesday night, is sharing one of those burdens with each other. So I would encourage you to make yourself available to that resource also. And I think that is it for now. So we're going to have Brother Jim come lead us in Just a Closer Walk.
Amen. 227, all three verses.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I
matter, Lord, who cares? Oh, with me my burden shares none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Savior awaits, and he opens the gates. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to the Gospel of Mark tonight, Mark chapter number 9. The other announcement I did not tell you about is we just recorded another segment of our prayer challenge, and I encourage you to take a look at that. It should be posted later on tonight. This time we talked about interceding, talked about the importance of praying for others. I know many of us know what it's when we look at our prayer life. We've been talking about praising, talking about confession, talking about prayer promises, talked about being spiritually alert. Now we're going into these topics of interceding and praying for others and how to pray for others. And it's to help you develop a prayer list. And I don't want to say that I've exhausted every avenue, but these are things that help me. And it helps me extend my prayer time. And there's a lot of different things we can be praying for. If you see some things there that you notice that I didn't write down or mention, feel free to let me know about those. But we're talking about interceding. And then on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, I'll talk about how to pray for certain things for ourselves. And then praying for different things that are important that we can seek God on behalf of the needs that we have. And most of them are spiritual, not physical. We know that God's going to take care of the physical things, but we need to make sure that we're right spiritually. Here in Mark chapter number 9, we're going to talk a little bit, preach for a little while about a familiar story, at least familiar to the people that are at our church. And many times when we're getting close to a revival or getting close to a spiritual decision, we talk a little bit about prayer and fasting. And since next week is a call to prayer and fasting for the whole week with these different seven churches, but specifically for Monday, April 20th, I thought we'd do a little bit of teaching and preaching about the importance of prayer and the importance of fasting. And as I was considering and thinking about different areas where the Bible talks about how people fasted and how it made a difference in the lives of not only themselves, but those that are around them, this is one of those first stories that come to my mind because Jesus puts an emphasis on prayer and fasting. You can even see where he says in verse number 29, chapter 9, it says, "And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And it's amazing that in verse 29 in the modern, what they call the modern versions of the Bible, the other versions of the Bible that we do not use, they take the word fasting out. And you know, in the book of Matthew, they have a very similar story. And I think it's Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. If you go look it up in the NIV, it's not even there. There's a number what they call modern day translations that don't even have it there. And I think that is an attack because I think one of the spiritual warfare things that we can do is when we can learn how to fast and we can learn how to pray, boy, it can make a huge difference. And that's exactly what this story is being told here is Jesus, his disciples, someone brought his son, a man brought his son, or a father brought his son to the disciples because there's demons in him. And the disciples couldn't even cast them out. And later on, they go to Jesus and say, "Hey, why couldn't we do this?" And he says, and Matthew, he gives a little bit of a different response, but it's very similar. We're going to look at both responses. He says to them that this kind, and that's kind of interesting. I always thought that I had that phrase underlined in my Bible, this kind. What is it talking about? The demonic oppression that's there, the struggle, the battle, the spiritual battle that's there, this kind, this very big battle, it says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He says, you need to fight this on a spiritual level, and not only just any normal spiritual level, you need to take it a step farther and make it prayer and fasting. And it's something here that we need to understand as believers. The day and time we live at, there is a lot of different things that are going on. And in the church time that we're living in today, we're trying to have a time of prayer and fasting because why? Because that's a game changer. That's a difference maker. And I'm not saying that's something that we should do collectively all together on a certain day every single. I'm not saying that, but this is something the Lord led me to do to try to inform and encourage our people. This is something we should be doing on our own as the Lord leads. The time we live in is very unique. I know I've said this over and over, and some people say, you're just trying to sound an alarm. And in many ways, that's what we're trying to do. You know, there's something going on here that's unique, that's unlike anything I've ever faced in my lifetime. Plus, it's something that many, if even older people, have never faced anything like that. I'm not talking about just the sickness. I'm talking about being required to stay at home and what's going to happen with our economy. And what's happening right now is unlike anything that any of us have really ever faced before. And I want to respond in the right way. I think of this as something that is maybe a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Now, there's also discussion you could think about. well, if this is from the Lord and it is a sign of the end times, that this could just be the beginning. But when you consider history, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. How are we going to respond to it? How are we going to learn from it? This will be written down about in a history book someday. And the way I respond is one that wants to be of being Spirit-led. I want to learn what God is trying to teach us. I want us to learn what God's trying to teach us. I want us to make changes that will last for eternity, not just during this time of turmoil. I think that we should seek God and say, God, do a work in me, do a work in the inward parts, so that way I can change outwardly. You think about it. Someday, and I don't know where you're at, there's some young guys in the room that's helping with different things, and you know, someday their kids are going to ask about this. And someday, if I ever have grandkids, if my grandkids might ask me about this, or my great-grandkids, or some of your grandkids now might ask you about that. You know, what was it like to be able to be stuck in your house and not able to go out? What was it like for all these different things that happened? Why did you let them pass that big tax bill? We're going to be paying that back for the rest of their lives. You don't know what type of questions they might ask, but you think about it. What do you want your response to be? Oh, yeah, I caught up on the latest TV shows. It was great. I learned this new hobby. It was wonderful. And I'm not saying, well, some of the latest TV shows are wrong, but I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with a little bit of enjoyment if you have some downtime. But how great would it be that we could go back and we could teach our kids and our grandkids, hey, during this time of upheaval, and during this time of crisis, or at least what they called a crisis, during this time when they shut everything else down, God was still able to work in my heart. This is what God taught me during this time. This is what God showed me. This is the changes I made in my life during this time that I still do till today. And what a wonderful testimony that would be. You know how that's going to happen? It's if we let God teach us what he wants to teach us. If we let God change us the way he wants to change us. If we're going to respond by being Spirit-led and asking God to make a change in me during this time that will last and affect for all eternity, you know what's going to have to happen? We're going to be serious-minded. And I think that's what Jesus is telling his disciples here. He says, in the past, the disciples have had the power to cast out demons. But here, there's something going on in their life where their faith is weak, and because of their faith is weak, Jesus says the only way, or he uses these two words, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He's saying here that there is a specific spiritual battle that is so intense, you're not going to win this battle unless you give yourself over to prayer and to fasting to help increase your faith. When I read this story, I see someone who's hurting. And it reminds me of this world. I see this little boy who's hurting, and you're going to read the story, and your heart's going to go out to him if you picture in your mind what's going on with this father and the son. And I see a world, and I think we live in a world that is hurting today. And I see that there's desperate times in some people's lives. And as we read through this story, it reminds me that there is a great world out there with great needs. And many times they come to a church and they do not get the help they need because the church is powerless. Just as this father and son comes to the disciples and say, can you help us? And the answer was they were not right with God enough or close enough with God or on praying ground enough of God to get the answer to this prayer. So I see this little boy, and we're going to allude to this in a little while as we consider this little boy. You know, it's a picture of the world. He said, well, he's demon-possessed. I don't know about you. I look around the world sometimes, and I think, man, this world is demon-possessed, and it's ruled by the prince of power of the air. I don't know. If we could go up, and we could look at things the way God looks at them, or even go up and look at the way that maybe I would consider an angel would look at them, or even come from I know we can't do time travel, but can you imagine somebody from the 1700s coming and looking at what's going on? Can you imagine some of our founding fathers coming and watching what's happening? Those guys that helped write the Constitution, watching what's happening right now in America. Can you imagine what it would look like? It would look like it was demon-possessed. It would look like, who in the world's running this? Who in the world says it's okay for a man to marry a man? Who in the world says it's okay for somebody to say, I don't care what gender God gave me, I'm going to pick this Who in the world says it's okay for to kill a baby that's inside a womb? I mean, all those different things. You look at that and you're like, how in the world did all these things happen? Now, we've lived through it. We go day by day. Sometimes we become desensitized. Sometimes we come to the point where we're like, okay, this is just part of what we... No. There's a world that is in great need. There's a world that is in desperate need. And the question is, Jesus is saying, the closer you are with God and the closer you are to God, the closer you are in your walk with the Lord determines what type of difference you can make in this world. If you're on tune with the Lord and you have God's power on your spirit field, you're going to make a greater difference in this world than if not. Now, here's the question is it worth it? We look at the world and we like to complain. We like to say abortion's wrong, liquor's wrong, drugs are wrong, laziness. And we like to make a long list and we like to hammer down on those things. But the reality is we can make a greater difference in the world if we were closer to Jesus. This kind, it doesn't come by anything but by prayer and fasting. So there's the challenges. If you want to see a great difference made in the world, that means that we should pray more, and that means that we should draw closer to God through fasting. But how many of us do that? And that's what the challenge is. We're living in these days, and it seems like we're kind of being lulled to sleep. Okay, right now the challenge is, you know, till the end of the month, that we're supposed to stay at home. You know, and some people are already preparing for a little bit farther and longer. You hear some different crazy things out there, and you're like, what are they talking about? We've been lulled to sleep, and we've forgotten that this is a great time we can draw near to God. This is a great time that we can seek God's face. This is a great time we can try to minister and let God do a mighty work in our lives. Because he's saying there is some things, and he says here, this kind. He's referring to the spiritual battle that man and that son was in, that this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And it's the same challenge you've heard before. Is it worth it? Are we willing to set aside our own pet sins, our own desires, our own fleshly lust to say, you know what, to help the world, it's worth it? Let's read the story. I think you kind of get the thought behind the story that's going on already, but I'd like to look at a little bit. We're going to try to look a little bit about fasting and try to help us along the way. And I want to challenge you. And like I said, on Monday, I want you to take those prayer slots, but I don't want you to just pray for 20 minutes. I want you to spend that day seeking God and asking God to work in your heart and your life to make a difference for the world that we're around. And I would want you to consider pray about fasting those days, or fasting that day. And we'll talk a little bit about that as time goes along. But let's jump into story. Verse number 14, picture what's happening. Jesus is coming down off the Mount Transfiguration. Jesus obviously knows, because he's God, what's going on. But imagine a scene that's here. There is the disciples there that are powerless to cast this demon away. There are scribes here who have been trying to trick Jesus, who does not like Jesus, who thinks Jesus is an imposter, and they're questioning his disciples that are there while the master is gone on the mountain. They're questioning disciples, so why can't you cast out the demons? What's wrong with... And so they are condemning them, and they are asking him questions. I'm sure the disciples are defending themselves. And they're there, and there's an argument that's going on. Then over here in the corner, I see this father that is there with his son, and maybe hugging his son, maybe holding his son. Because if you consider what's going on in this story, it talks about how the demon did all these different things. This boy would be filled with scars, probably. This boy has had been traumatized over and over because of the demon that lives inside of him. And the father's there, and his heart's breaking. And you got scribes here that are arguing with the disciples. You got disciples here that are defending. And you know what? The person over here that needs help is the father. The person that's over here that needs help is the son. And they're not trying to figure out the way to help them. Instead, they're worried about themselves. And how often is that in our world today? There is a world that needs, desperately in need of help, and many times people are arguing back and forth about things that aren't going to make a difference or the greater difference. So he walks in the scene here, he says in verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude. So there was not just a few people, it's a great multitude. Picture as he's walking down the mountain about them, and the scribes questioning with them. The scribes are pointing fingers at him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him saluted. Can you imagine the crowd? They're there, and they're focused on what the scribes are saying to the disciples. I'm sure they're being a good crowd. They're developing their own opinions, saying, maybe this Jesus isn't real, or what's the scribe's problems? Is anybody going to help this boy out? And then it goes off, and straightway all the people, so they run to Jesus. When they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and the whole crowd is running to him, saluted him. And he asks the scribes, what question ye with them? He looks at him, he says, what are you messing with him for? Just because he went up in the mountain, they felt comfortable to attack these nine disciples. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. Imagine if that was your child. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So in the story here, he says this statement, O faithless generation. Now, I guess a little consideration to this verse. Some people think he's talking about the disciples because of the fact they did not have the faith in order to heal the boy. Some think he's talking about the scribes and the crowd. Some feel like he's talking about the father. But I think in all the cases here, he's talking about all three cases. But the one that I think we could focus on as a Faith Baptist Church family, that is a picture many times of us. Now, how could he look at us and say, oh, faithless generation? We would look at the scribe and say, man, they're religious leaders. They should have known better. Where was their faith? Why weren't they trusting in the Lord? Man, we are blood-bought children of God that has the Holy Spirit of God living within us. But do we live lives of faith? Are we on that praying ground? Are we interested in praying and fasting? Would Jesus look at us and say, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. He's saying, how long will you be without faith? How long is it that you're going to continue on living a life that is for yourself and that does not take any type of faith steps towards God or toward the things that God wants you to? You continue to live your life and continue day after day after day. Like we're looking at Amos over and over. It says, I did this and you still didn't turn unto me. And I did this, and you still didn't turn unto me. And God allows things to happen. What will cause the church to wake up and say, hey, I want to serve God with my heart? But many churches could be that old faithless generation. What a beautiful phrase, bring him unto me at the end. Jesus says, I can help him. And that's what we need to do, is introduce people to Jesus. He says, I can help them. Jesus is the one that can help. Jesus is the one they need to see. Jesus is the one we need to be connected with. Jesus is the one we need to be focused on. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Can you imagine the foaming coming out of his mouth? Whether he was being carried or walking, he can't even get to Jesus, the demon takes over. Now look at the next thing. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So for years, this man, this father has watched his son be hurt like this. Now listen to the next description. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Imagine how many times his father, who probably has burns on his arms from pulling his son out of the fire, how many times his father had to go into the water to try to save his son. But look at this next, look at his response. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So he comes to Jesus and says, if you can do anything, and I'm sure you've heard the stories about what Jesus could do, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And the amazing thing is, he is a compassionate Savior. He is someone who cares for others. He is someone who feels his hurt. Remember, we don't have a high priest. We don't have a high priest that has not felt our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like we are, but yet without sin. And you continue on. It says here, verse 23, Jesus responds, "If thou canst believe." It's not about whether or not God can. Praise the Lord, God can. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." And I think that's a great prayer request for us to say, "Lord, I want to increase my faith right now, and I do believe in you, but help thou my unbelief." Like he looked at Martha, and when she said, "Believest thou this?" And he says later on, he says, "Didn't I tell you that you could see the glory of God if you would just believe?" It continues on. And Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God help tonight. Lord, I know we're pretty far into the message, but Lord, help us just remind ourselves the difference we can make by being spirit-led. We see all the different circumstances around us. We see the sins of the world around us. We see how it has an effect on our families and has an effect on our churches and has an effect on our country. God, help us. Help us to see the importance of putting you first. Help us understand when you say this kind, referring to the spiritual battle that they were facing, that it was only going to happen through prayer and fasting. And Lord, help us to see the need for that in the day and time we live in. Help us to grab a hold of that. Lord, we believe, but help thou our unbelief. Help us to leave this place a changed people. Help us as we stop watching this video tonight, at the end of it, we make a commitment that, Lord, I want to get closer to you. I want to be someone who can help this world. I don't want anyone to come to me and me say, "I just can't help you." But instead, Lord, help us to point them to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you like to take your Bible to Matthew chapter 17, it's what I call a sister story. It's about the same event, but there's a couple verses here that I would like for you to look at. Matthew chapter 17, look in verse 16. And he says, and the Father speaking again, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him thither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now here's what I'm interested in you seeing. Then came the disciples apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. Now once again, this is just, it's not a contradiction. This is just a little bit more information on what's being said here. So it's not just the prayer and fasting, but he said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So there's a connection here. He says the problem is their unbelief. And he's saying the only way that this ever going to increase that faith is through prayer and through fasting. Christian, I know the heart of many of us is that we want to do what's right. We believe there's a problem in the world. We believe there's things that are going on that shouldn't be going on. How can I be a good church member? How can I be a good family member? How can I be a good person in my country? It's by increasing your faith. Clarence Sexton put it this way. The highest thing we can do as human beings is to put our faith in the true and living God. There is nothing greater. God made us to faith him, to trust him, to believe him. With faith, what marvelous things we can witness. The Lord Jesus also found no faith in his own disciples. What a tragedy. At times we look outside our church family and declare how terrible it is living in a faithless generation and seeing all about us who do not trust God. But God looks at those who are following him, and he must be saying of us many times, you are a faithless and not trusting me and believing me, O faithless generation. Think for a minute what the Holy Spirit can do when we are living by faith, when we are praying and we're fasting, we are saying, look at the great things the Holy Spirit can do. Look at the difference the Holy Spirit can make. But consider that on the flip side. When we choose not to follow after God and choose not to be close to him, look at the great things the devil can do in our lives. We might not like to hear that, but we believe by faith as we surrender and as we get closer to God and we do things like prayer and fasting and things that build and encourage your faith, like reading the Bible and meditating on the Word of God and memorizing. Think about what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Remember, you submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But what happens when we don't submit? What happens when we don't resist? Think about the great opportunity the devil has to wreak havoc in our lives. This is a challenge here that he's giving his disciples. He says, it's because of your unbelief. It's because you do not believe. And the reason why you do not believe like you should is because you have not prayed and fasted like you should. As I mentioned and alluded to earlier, consider the boy for a second. Consider the boy as he represents a mad earth today. And once again, I believe if we could go look at this earth the way that God sees it, or even the way that angels see it, we would come to the same conclusion that the earth is mad. As this boy is demon-possessed, there are so many people out here today that are acting like they're demon-possessed. The sad thing was that this man brought his boy to the disciples, but they could do nothing. And the tragic thing in a time and an hour like this, when people are looking for hope, when people are looking for peace, when people are looking for the answer, we stand as churches many times powerless, unable to make a difference, because our hearts are not right like they should be. People come to us with great needs, and we put up our hands and we say, don't know what to do. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not going to have the answer for everything, but we can point people to Christ. We can be on praying ground. We can make sure our hearts are right. We can do what we can, and who can tell what God will do with a surrendered life? So just a little while, let's consider some thoughts about fasting. Take your Bible to Matthew chapter number 6. In Matthew chapter number 6, we see Jesus teaching about fasting. Matthew chapter 6. Now, we've talked a lot about prayer already. We're not going to focus on that tonight. We're going to focus on who should fast, why we should fast. You say, Pastor, what is fasting? Simply put, biblical fasting is abstinence from food or perhaps other legitimate pleasures in order to concentrate on a definite spiritual problem or need. It is done in conjunction with confession of sin and prayer. Let me read that again. Biblical fasting is abstinence from food or perhaps other legitimate pleasures. There's been different times when I've given up certain things that I call to fast. Maybe no TV for a week. Maybe losing some type of electronic that you love so much. I know some of the adults can't get rid of their cell phone for a day or two because they have work responsibilities. But maybe for some of the young people to give up your cell phone, give up video games, give up different things that would be considered pleasurable things for us in order to concentrate on a definite spiritual problem or need. That's what we're going to give you a prayer list and say, focus on God working in your heart for these things, or at least for some of them. It's done in conjunction with confession of sin. If you go and fast a day and you got sin in your heart, you might as well just keep on eating. It's a desire to want to get right with him and let God work and concentrate. And if we have regard iniquity in our heart, it's going to be a problem. And prayer. So here's a couple things I want you to remind you of. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Let's look in verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when ye fast. It's kind of interesting. Jesus doesn't tell these people on the mountain if you fast. He says when you fast. So Jesus was expecting people to fast. Jesus was expecting his followers to fast. Jesus was thinking that people would have an interest in getting closer to Him, by being willing to lay certain things down so we can focus on a spiritual need or a spiritual problem. And I want an answer and I need an answer. I'm going to stop doing these things so I can concentrate on Him. He says, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. And there are people that were hypocritical in their fast. People like the Pharisees that would fast certain times on purpose. The Bible never says you need to fast this day of the week and this day of the month. They added those things in there. But their heart was so far away from God, they did it just as a show. They were being hypocritical. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. So they would fast to try to please men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When people look at them and say, oh, well, look at them, they're fasting, they're going to have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I know what some things going through your mind is. Hey, pastor, we're going to know the people that fast and don't fast. No, we're not. I'm not going to ask anybody to tell me that they're going to fast or not. It's something you do in secret. It's something, obviously, if you live close, if your wife usually makes you dinner, you might want to give her a little bit of heads up. You don't want to get in trouble. Amen. I've been there before. And you know, different things like that. But the fasting is not a commandment. It's something between you and the Lord. So well, where in the Bible does it talk about people fasting? The nation of Israel did it for repentance. My favorite story, and we might look at it a little bit this Sunday afternoon. My favorite thought was when it was in the book of Jonah. They heard the word of God. They heard that they were in trouble. And what did they do? They fasted. They prayed. And they had this awesome phrase that is found in Jonah chapter number 3. And I don't see it here right now. It says, who can tell if God... And it says, who can tell if God, and it's the idea, who can tell what God will do? It's us. We're doing what we can and believing God to do the rest. So here's a couple of things I want you to think about. First of all, biblical fasting is not for show. Biblical fasting is not for show. And we see that here in the scriptures very, very easily put there. Second thing is biblical fasting is not an empty religious ritual. And this is what they did. They made it an empty religious ritual, but this is something God is saying, you can draw closer to me by fasting. Biblical fasting is not for physical health. And I know some people say, hey, pastor, you could definitely use some fasting. Not because of your spiritual needs, but because of this gut you have. I know nobody would say that. Well, maybe a few might. But it's not the reason why you do it. Now, does that mean there is not any type of physical help with it? I'm sure there will be some, but that's not the reason why you do it. Fasting does not necessarily guarantee that your prayers will be answered. Pastor, why in the world do I want to do it if I'm not going to get my prayers answered? Once again, why are we fasting? We fast, we concentrate on God for a spiritual need and a spiritual problem. David fasts when he had committed that sin, there was a punishment that was placed upon him. Your child's going to die. David went before the Lord. He fasted. He prayed. He didn't get his prayer answered. But at the same time, he drew close to God and he had the response that was, hey, I'm going to go to him again someday. There is an answer there. It means that we're just leaving it up to God. We are being as close to God as we can. We are separating things and putting things down to say, God, we trust you. Do what you want. Here's our request. Help us in these areas. Fasting is not a matter of law, but of liberty. It's a personal matter. Fasting is important and useful in Christian life and service, but it's not something that can be commanded. It's not something that people should judge others on their spiritual conditions. I don't think you should go around and try to take a survey who fasted and who didn't fast. The prayer times that people give me, the only person that's going to know about them is myself and that list that's there. Unless someone gives some times to my wife that they're interested in and she relays the message. Because that's between you and the Lord. I'm just making sure all our 24 hours are covered. Because we don't do it for others. It's not a commandment. It's those that say, hey, there's a problem and I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of the solution. What can I do to help? And this gives you an avenue to help. The Lord Jesus said that fasting is essential is an essential part of spiritual warfare. We like this, the phrase, are you essential or are you non-essential? And it's crazy, some of the stuff that they say is essential. How can a liquor store be essential, right? How can the abortion clinic be essential, but you know, churches are not essential? You know, it's craziness. But one of the essential parts of spiritual warfare and those who war against satanic strongholds should be this fact of fasting and praying. There are indeed some demonic strongholds that can be conquered by nothing but by prayer and fasting. It says it right there in the scripture. That's what the story tells, is that they're that kind or this kind, nothing but by prayer and fasting. What are some of the other occasions when people fast? Well, Jesus fasted when he was tempted in the wilderness. Daniel fasted as he was seeking wisdom. There was a fast that God for God's help and protection as needed in the book of Ezra. There was fast when victory is desired in an impossible situation. When we think about Esther and Esther's three-day fast, not only for Esther and Mordecai, but for all the nation of the Jews that were in that area. Fast during special times of repentance, confession, and revival. And the Bible speaks about those in Joel chapter 1 and 2 and 2. 2 and verse 12 and 2 verse 15. Fast when new ministries are launched and when men go forth to proclaim God's word and battle spiritual enemies. What did they do when they call Saul and Barnabas? They fasted. Fast when involved in a spiritual ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 5 talks about fasting when you're involved in a spiritual. When's the last time we ever prayed and fasted for the ministries that we're a part of? There's an encouraging promise that's found here, and we're almost done. Look at the end of Matthew chapter 6 verse 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 16, the problem was they were getting their reward from people. They were lifted up in the eyes of the people. People were saying, man, look, they must be fasting. Look, they must be spiritually minded people. What did that earn them? Nothing. But here in verse number 18, there's a wonderful promise that says, which seeth in secret and shall reward thee openly. The Lord Jesus made a definite promise about fasting. When one fasts in the proper manner for the proper reason, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is one of the most wonderful promises in the Bible and cannot be dismissed lightly. God would not make such a promise if he did not consider fasting important. Christ never discouraged proper fasting. He condemned and corrected false practices, but never did he discourage spiritual fasting. He took for granted that his followers would fast because it says, when ye fast. Why does God require us to fast? I don't know if we can really fully answer that question, but I think we got to live a life of faith. And say, if he says that about that boy in that story, that should encourage me to spend different seasons of fasting. When there are special spiritual needs and special spiritual satanic oppression in my life and in my family's life or in my church's life, there's nothing wrong. And God said he will bless when I set things aside to concentrate and seek his will and seek his face. See, God sees the heart of men. The Bible says he requires that this fasting is a requirement because he sees our heart's desire. Joel 2:12 puts it this way. Therefore also now, save the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. That was the cry to the nation of Israel. Turn to me with all your heart. Show it with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Do you think fasting and praying will work? And the answer is yes. If you're seeking for the right thing, guess what? Prayer will work. If you're seeking to get a specific answer to prayer, doesn't mean the answer is always going to be yes, but there will be an answer. Think about it. It will definitely help you draw closer to God. It will definitely help give clarity on subjects. Doesn't mean you're going to get your answers prayer the way that you want to, but it will definitely give God the glory. I found the notes, the scripture, Jonah chapter number 3, it's verse number 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? They had heard a word from the Lord. Hey, the word from God was, they're going to perish. They heard the word. They reacted to the word. And what happens? They say this. We know that he can choose to deliver us or not deliver us. But we're going to do everything we can to put ourselves in a place where God will answer our prayers. Who can tell if God will? And the reality is, who can tell if God will change America? Who can tell if God will help my family? Who can tell if God will do this or do that or answer these great questions that we all have or that we're all thinking? Who can tell if God will? But I can tell one thing for sure. If we don't spend time in prayer and we don't spend time in fasting, I can tell you God won't. Who could tell if God will? And I know some of us have things that are on our list, that have been on our list for a long time, that maybe we've stopped praying for by faith. We were talking in the prayer segment tonight, talking about how to intercede on behalf of others. And on the last thing on my list is some special needs. And these special needs are hard case individuals or hard case situations that I have no idea how to fix. And I mentioned on that prayer time that I write out these things sometimes. Sometimes it's a person's name, sometimes it's something there. And I write them out and ask God, I have no idea what to do here. I need your help. But it's nice when that name is crossed off the list because the prayer has been answered. God's answered it one way or another. And sometimes they even put a date next to that so I can say, go back and say, you know what? God helped me in this situation that I did not know what to do. It was a hard case individual, but I gave it over to the Lord. I sought God, maybe even times of prayer and fasting, sought God about different times. And I even had a date there by it saying, God, thank you for helping me here. Now with the list that's still there, God, I still need your help. I can't tell how God's going to do it. Who can tell if God will? Well, we'd like to see revival. We'd like to see another great awakening. Of course we would. Who can tell what God? Who can tell if God will? Only thing we can do is do our part. And he says that this kind is only going to be through prayer and fasting. It's not going to happen any other way. So my challenge for you tonight, it's probably similar to the challenges that have been in the last few weeks. What are we going to do with the problems? What are you going to do with your situation? Are you going to continue to do things the way, just normal, and not grow in our Christian walk? Or are we going to be willing to say, God, I don't know how to fix this. God, I don't know how you're going to fix this, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to draw closer to you. I'm going to submit myself unto God. I'm going to resist the devil. He's going to have to flee from me. And I'm going to draw close to you through prayer, through fasting, to help build my faith so I can make a difference in the world we live in. The need is obvious. The need was obvious 16 years ago when I came here. The need is even greater now than it was. But I wonder in the last 16 years, how much I've taken it seriously and grown closer to God so I can make a difference. You know how long you've been saved? I don't know. But the need is greater than it was back then. Is it not time that we say, hey, I'm willing to sign up for some prayer and fasting. I'm willing to make a difference. I'm willing to be what God wants me to be and in a place that I can say, who can tell what God will do? But I can tell you for sure, I'm going to be in that place of blessing. Now, some of you might not even need this message. Some of you say, hey, Pastor, I'm there. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm walking with God. God's working in my heart. I see God moving. And praise the Lord. Continue to pray for us that need the encouragement and help. But I think for many of us, if we were honest, we would say, hey, I really care more about the things in my life than I do about the needs of others. I really care more about getting my way or having my attitude than I do about changing so that way God could use me. And that the question is, that father is bringing that boy to the disciples, and they couldn't help. And I see individuals coming to our church saying, we need your help. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm not talking about people that are trying to rip us off. I'm talking about people that have serious spiritual issues. This is the place they should get the help. But just like the scribes, just like the disciples, they're more worried about their turf. They're more worried about their position. They're more worried. They're powerless because their faith has been challenged and it's been come up weak because they do not spend enough time in prayer and fasting. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you convict hearts that need to be convicted. Lord, I pray even in my own heart, in my own life, that I would consider these thoughts in a greater light. Lord, that if there's areas that only can be overcome through prayer and fasting, help me be faithful in those areas too. Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. I want you to use me in whatever way you see fit. God, work in our hearts, work in our lives. Help this church. As we mentioned earlier, Lord, help us have stories for our, if you tarry, for our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids when they ask about this time when we were all stuck at home. Help us to have these wonderful stories. Yes, the world was going crazy, but God did this in my life. God did this in my church. God did this in my family. Help it to be a time of victory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it's time now for you to respond if you have not responded to that prayer time. Once again, it's between you and the Lord if you're going to fast. But prayer time, I do need people to fill out those slots. That's not the whole reason why we preach the message. I think you understand and see the importance and the practical side of the message that's there. I'm assuming Sunday afternoon we may look a little bit at the story of Jonah, but we're going to mostly go over our prayer list on Sunday afternoon. Remember, this is for adults. This is also for teenagers, the prayer time. I think anybody that's 13 and above that we can trust for the prayer time. If they are 12 and below and they want to be part of it, and kids, you should want to be a part of it, get a parent or grandparent to do it with you, or an older sibling to do it with you. And if you really, young people, if you really feel like that's what God wants you to, if you're be under the 12 and under, and you want to do one of these prayer times, talk to your parents and we can sign you up for a spot there. If you're a teenager and would like to do it, then I would encourage you to let me know and we'll make sure we fill you out. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I can pray for 20 minutes. On Sunday afternoon, I'll give out the prayer list. You'll probably have it before then. But on Sunday afternoon, I'll show you how very easily, with the things that are on this piece of paper, you could pray for 20 minutes for the things that are on there. It could be much longer, but we set it up on purpose to make it something that people thought provoking. And also ways of encouragement. And many of the other churches that are part of it are going to be using a similar prayer list, if not the exact same prayer list, so we can be praying for all the different things that are on there. Remember, God is in control. We're here to help you. If you need something, let us know. We're praying for you. And be an encouragement to someone. Tomorrow, call somebody that maybe you haven't talked to and be an encouragement to them. I'm not talking about calling your best friend. You probably talked to them enough. Talking about calling someone that you can be an encouragement and a help to. And if all of us that are watching do that, man, we're going to reach a lot of different people. It'd be nice if they were inside the church family, but the Lord may lay somebody on your heart that's not part of our church family. But make sure you be an encouragement, a blessing, and a help to somebody tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you next time.